Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldar, and today Masechas Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, the 8th Perek, Yesh Nochuin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Huna said that if a Shechim Eral wrote all his property to someone, but did not specify if it was given as a Yerusha or a gift, we examine the recipient's relation to him. Im Roy LeYorsho, if the recipient is fit to inherit him as an heir, Notum Mishum Yerusha, he takes the properties as an inheritance. Im Lav, Notum Mishum Matana, but if not, he takes him as a gift. Rav Huna holds like Rabbi Yochum and Broka that one can redistribute his inheritance, and the benefactor presumably means to use whichever method is effective. The Gemara asks for enough coming between the options, and Rava ultimately offers a case. If one says, Nechasai lechov acharecha leponi, my property should go to you, and after you die, to Poni, then if the first recipient was fit to inherit the benefactor, ein lo sheni b'makom rishon klum, the second recipient has nothing in the place of the first. Rather, the first person's heirs inherit him, since this gift was made in the language of inheritance. V'yerusha ein lehepsik, an inheritance does not have interruption despite the benefactor's attempt to transfer it to the second recipient. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, a kosev es nechasav l'acherim, one who writes away his possessions to others, v'niach es banav, and leaves his children with nothing. Masha asa asui, what he has done is done, ela ein ruach chachamim no chachamena, but the sages are not pleased with him since he undermined the Torah's law of inheritance. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, im lo hayu banav nohagim kashura, if his sons were not acting properly, zachu atov, he's remembered for good, meaning his action was honorable. The Gemara asks if the Rabban disagree and hold one should never disinherit his children, since his unrighteous sons may have virtuous descendants. The Gemara will eventually quote a statement Shmuel made to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinan, a sharp one. Do not be present at the transferring of an inheritance, afil mebra bishu lebra tava, even if it's being transferred from a bad son to a good son, and certainly if it's being transferred from a son to a daughter. This demonstrates the Rabban never approve of disinheriting children. And point number three, Yosef ben Yoezer, who had a son who was not acting properly, was makdish a purse of gold dinarim so his son would not inherit it. The son later married the daughter of King Yanai's crown maker, and when his wife had a child, he bought her a fish. He found a jewel inside, and his wife warned him not to sell it to the king because he would not get a good price. Instead, she advised him to sell it to Hekdesh and let them appraise it. They assessed it at 13 purses of gold dinarim, but told him the treasury had only 7 purses. He said to give him 7 purses and donate the remaining value to Hekdesh. They wrote, Yosef ben Yoezer hiknis achas, ubeno hiknis sheish. Yosef ben Yoezer brought 1 purse of gold dinarim to Hekdesh, and his son brought 6. In another version, they concluded, and his son took out 7. The Gemara suggests that the first version, which praises the son's act, indicates that the father acted honorably in disinheriting him and caused his son to improve. However, the Gemara responds that the second version indicates the very opposite, that the father's inappropriate disinheriting of his son caused him to act improperly and empty out the Hekdesh treasury. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Huna said that if a Shechim Eral wrote all his property to someone, but did not specify if it was given as a Yerusha or a gift, we examine the recipient's relation to him. Im Roy LeYorsho, if the recipient is fit to inherit him as an heir, Notum Mishum Yerusha, he takes the properties as an inheritance. Im Lav, Notum Mishum Matana, but if not, he takes him as a gift. Rav Huna holds like Rabbi Yochum and Broka that one can redistribute his inheritance, and the benefactor presumably means to use whichever method is effective. The Gemara asks for enough coming between the options, and Rava ultimately offers a case. If one says, Nechasai lechov acharecha leponi, my property should go to you, and after you die, to Poni, then if the first recipient was fit to inherit the benefactor, ein lo sheni b'makom rishon klum, the second recipient has nothing in the place of the first. Rather, the first person's heirs inherit him, since this gift was made in the language of inheritance. V'yerusha ein lehepsik, an inheritance does not have interruption despite the benefactor's attempt to transfer it to the second recipient. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, a kosev es nechasav l'acherim, one who writes away his possessions to others, v'niach es banav, and leaves his children with nothing. Masha asa asui, what he has done is done, ela ein ruach chachamim no chachamena, but the sages are not pleased with him since he undermined the Torah's law of inheritance. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, im lo hayu banav nohagim kashura, if his sons were not acting properly, zachu atov, he's remembered for good, meaning his action was honorable. The Gemara asks if the Rabban disagree and hold one should never disinherit his children, since his unrighteous sons may have virtuous descendants. The Gemara will eventually quote a statement Shmuel made to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinan, a sharp one. Do not be present at the transferring of an inheritance, afil mebra bishu lebra tava, even if it's being transferred from a bad son to a good son, and certainly if it's being transferred from a son to a daughter. This demonstrates the Rabban never approve of disinheriting children. And point number three, Yosef ben Yoezer, who had a son who was not acting properly, was makdish a purse of gold dinarim so his son would not inherit it. The son later married the daughter of King Yanai's crown maker, and when his wife had a child, he bought her a fish. He found a jewel inside, and his wife warned him not to sell it to the king because he would not get a good price. Instead, she advised him to sell it to Hekdesh and let them appraise it. They assessed it at 13 purses of gold dinarim, but told him the treasury had only 7 purses. He said to give him 7 purses and donate the remaining value to Hekdesh. They wrote, Yosef ben Yoezer hiknis achas, ubeno hiknis sheish. Yosef ben Yoezer brought 1 purse of gold dinarim to Hekdesh, and his son brought 6. In another version, they concluded, and his son took out 7. The Gemara suggests that the first version, which praises the son's act, indicates that the father acted honorably in disinheriting him and caused his son to improve. However, the Gemara responds that the second version indicates the very opposite, that the father's inappropriate disinheriting of his son caused him to act improperly and empty out the Hekdesh treasury. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, and our standard Siman is clogs. Clogs. So here goes. When the Shechi Meira gave away his entire estate, including his diamond-studded clogs, to a non-relative without specifying if it was a gift or an inheritance, disinheriting his son, who is not Noah Kashura. His son learned his lesson, and when he found a different pair of diamond-studded clogs inside a fish, he sold them to Hekdesh at a great price. Once again, slow motion. When the Shechi Meira gave away his entire estate, including his diamond-studded clogs? Clogs? That must be more duff. Kuf Lamed Gimel. When the Shechi Meira gave away his entire estate, including his diamond-studded clogs, to a non-relative, without specifying if it was a gift or an inheritance, which reminds us, Ravuna said that if a Shechi Meira wrote all his property to someone, but did not specify if it was given as a Yerusha or gift, we examine the recipient's relation to him. If the recipient is fit to inherit him as an heir, notum mishum Yerusha, he takes the properties as a Yerusha. Vimlav, notum mishum Matana, if not, he takes him as a gift. Ravuna holds a Rabbi Yochum and Broka that one can redistribute his inheritance, and the benefactor presumably means to use whichever method is effective. So when the Shechi Meira gave away his entire estate, including his diamond-studded clogs, to a non-relative, without specifying if it was a gift or an inheritance, disinheriting his son, who is not Noah Kashura, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Akosev es nechosev la'acherim, if one writes away his possessions to others, v'niach es banav, and leaves his children with nothing, Masha asa asui, what he has done, is done, el'ein ro chachami no chachmenu, but the sages are not pleased with him since he undermined the Torah's law of inheritance. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, im lo hayu banav nohim kashura, if his sons were not acting properly, zachu l'tov, he's remembered for good, meaning his action was honorable. So, when the Shechi Meira gave away his entire estate, including his diamond-studded clogs, to a non-relative without specifying if it was a gift or an inheritance, disinheriting his son who was not Noah Kashura, his son learned his lesson, and when he found a different pair of diamond-studded clogs inside a fish, he sold them to Hekdesh at a great price, which reminds us the Gemara brings the mice of Yosef ben Yoezer, who disinherited his son, who ended up selling a jewel he found to Hekdesh for less than its value. So once again, when the Shechi Meira gave away his entire estate, including his diamond-studded clogs, to a non-relative, without specifying if it was a gift or an inheritance, disinheriting his son who was not Noah Kashura, his son learned his lesson, and when he found a different pair of diamond-studded clogs inside a fish, he sold them to Hekdesh at a great price. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blah Blah Chazara. Daf Kuf Chav Tes, so the Simmer Daf Kuf Chav Tes is cactus. So here goes. The man who said Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my 2 cactus fields. Cactus? That must be more in Daf Kuf Chav Tes. The man who said Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my 2 cactus fields, which I'm giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Kuf Chav Vavan Beis taught that if one instructed to divide his estate differently than the Torah's laws of inheritance, his instructions are ignored. However, if he added an expression of matana, of giving, whether at the beginning, the middle, or the end, it's valid. There are 4 opinions about the extent of this law. For example, Reish Lakish holds, a matana phrase only validates a case of 2 fields and 2 people if he used 2 phrases of matana, such as Reuben and Shimon shall inherit field A and field B, respectively, which I am giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them. So the man who said, Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my 2 cactus fields, which I am giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them, overheard his neighbor tell his friends, My cactus property shall be given to you when I die, and after you die, Pony should inherit it, which reminds us, the Gemara concludes that Abraisa refutes the opinions that do not validate the inheritance clause in a case of two fields and two people from the case of one who says, Nechasai l'cha, my property shall be given to you when I die, v'acharecha yirish Pony, and after you die, Pony should inherit it, v'acharecha yirish Pony, and after the one after you dies, Pony should inherit it. The Braisa teaches that after the first recipient dies, the second person acquires it, and when the second person dies, the third person acquires it. So the man who said, Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my two cactus fields, which I am giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them, overheard his neighbor tell his friends, my cactus property shall be given to you when I die, and after you die, Pony should inherit it, making sure that the second phrase of inheritance was said, Toh Kedei Dibur, of the single expression of Matana, which reminds us, Reish Lakish agrees, one Matana phrase is sufficient when the Yerusha phrase is said, Tokedei Dibur. Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. So the simver Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph is a kela, a prison, a jail cell. So here goes. The jail's healthiest inmate, jail, that must be more on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, kela, prison, jail cell. The jail's healthiest inmate redistributed his inheritance, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha allows even a bari, a healthy person, to redistribute his inheritance. So the jail's healthiest inmate redistributed his inheritance that would remain after the Ksubas Benin Dechrin that would be given as a gift, which reminds us a Ksubas Benin Dechrin operates based on a Tanai basin and not normal requirements. So the jail's healthiest inmate redistributed his inheritance that would remain after the Ksubas Benin Dechrin that would be given as a gift, while his buddy in the next jail cell willed everything to his wife, not to cut out the kids, but rather to make her. The Apidropos, which reminds us, Shmuel said, a kosev kol nechasav l'ishto, one writes in his will to give all his possessions to his wife, he has merely made her an apitropos over his estate, but does not give her any of it. We assume that one is not likely to leave his children with nothing, and that he would likely appoint his wife as an apitropos, so the children will treat her with respect, knowing she controls the estate. Daf Kuf Lamed Beis, so the symbol for Daf Kuf Lamed Beis is a club, or clubhouse. So here goes. After the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse, that must be more on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. After the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse from his balchov, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that if one writes all his properties to his wife in a case where the gift takes effect, the Gemara will explain, and then someone produced a shtar chov against the husband's property, which preceded the gift, but not the ksuba. Rabbi Eliezer says, Tikra matnasa, she rips up her gift, but tamod al ksubasa, and stands upon her ksuba, meaning he holds she never relinquished her ksuba shibud on the land. The gift only enhanced her rights here, where she would lose the gift to the preceding debt. She may still collect it for her preceding ksuba. The Chachamim say she does relinquish her ksuba's shibud. So after the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse from his balchov, and the husband discovered that the son he thought had died overseas returned alive after he had given away his estate to others, which reminds us, Abraisa states that if one son traveled abroad and his father heard he died and wrote his entire estate to others after which the son returned, the Tanakhama says the gift remains valid, but Rabbi Shimon Manasseh says, his gift is not valid, for had he known his son would return, he would not have written his possessions away. Rav Nachman rules like Rav Shimon Manasseh, showing that he does follow the umdana of the person's mindset. So after the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse from his balchov, and the husband discovered that the son he thought had died overseas returned alive after he had given away his estate to others, the husband decided to just transfer the clubhouse to his son, since he was confident his wife would surely say that it's okay. Which reminds us, a Mishnah states that if one wrote his properties to his sons and wrote his wife a land of even minimal size, she forfeited her ksubas shibud on the property given to the sons. A Maraim offer three interpretations which are all disproven from the Sefer, where Rabbi Yossi says, Im kibo aleha, if she verbally accepted the loss of her shibud, even if he did not write any land to her, she forfeited her ksubas shibud. Rav Nachman rules like Rabbi Yossi that either is sufficient and explains, since he made her a partner among the sons by giving her property, she forfeited her ksubas shibud. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do you want about Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha's source of Vayya b'yom hanchilas banav? That's on daf Kuf Lamed. Good number two, which daf do we discuss what the din is when one says his wife should receive a share in his estate? That's on daf Kuf Chaf Ches. Good number three, which daf do we have four opinions when a matana phrase can validate a redistribution of one's estate? That's on daf Kuf Chaf Tes. Good number four, which daf do the case of one who wrote all his property to his wife and then the husband's debtor came to collect it? That's on daf Coup from the base. Good number five. Which stuff in the case of one who wrote all his property to some without specifying if it's a Yerusha or Matana? That's on Daf. Kuflamad Gimel. Good number six, which stuff is the case of someone who heard his son died in Medina Siyam and wrote away all of his possessions and then his son returned? That's on Daf. Kuflamad Beis. Good number seven, which stuff is the case where one says, my property should be given to you when I die and after you die, Pony should inherit it, and after the one after you dies, Pony should inherit it? That's on Daf. Kuf Chav Tes. Good number eight. Which stuff do we have in Malchus? Whether it's proper to leave one's children with no Yerusha if they're not acting properly? That's on Daf. Kuf Lamed Gimel. Good number nine. Which stuff do we have when a double portion is not given to a Safek Bechor? That's on Daf. Kuf Chav Zayin. Good. Number ten. Which stuff do we have about Yossi Ben Yuezer disinheriting a son who then sold a jewel he found to Hektish for less than its value? That's on Daf. Kuflamad Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu Shiur. Great day and great learning.